Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
Well, what to do about your brakes? Part 2. Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. Are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thanks so much for joining me today. I know I do appreciate it. Talking to Tony Joe here on a Friday, the special Car Corner edition. If you've got questions for Tony Joe, we've got answers. 1-877-913-5357. 1-877-913-5357. If you have a question and want to send it in, you can always go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. Go either to the Ask Bob section or just simply send to info@prudentmoney.com. 1-877-913-5357 is the number to call. Well, Tony Joe, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm just thinking about what to do about your brakes. He pulled that on me, and I'm not sure how to prepare for that. Does that mean brakes in life, like tough brakes, or are we talking about car brakes?
We're talking about car brakes, because that's typically what we do on Fridays.
Because, you know,
Fridays.
I'm a very well-rounded person. I can discuss all matters.
You could go a lot of different ways with that brakes idea. And my bad, I didn't know I needed to explain it to you.
Sorry. I'm a little simple. You gotta put more into it.
You know, it's 3 o'clock. We're doing that car thing, and
And I noticed it's casual Friday around here. You're not exactly dressed for.
So you saw watching the storms blow through early this morning, mm-hmm. got me to thinking. We are not only close to thunderstorm season, where things can get really bad, but we're starting. At the very early part of March, what do you think about the upcoming storm season?
Well, that's interesting because just so that everybody knows, maybe newcomers to the area, our tornado season generally is March, April, and May. So to be in it right now is not unusual, although the events of yesterday, the conditions were right, and it's early this year, but we're actually in the tornado season right now, and it'll last through the end of May. So,
yeah. So we'll cover a few things here coming up on in a future show about how to drive in. What if you get stuck?
How to deal with
it? There's
a
lot of things you need to know. I think it offers a really good refresher of that information, so that. It's still kind of top of the mind, and you hear that, and you think, well, if this happens, this is what I'm supposed mm-hmm. to do, because it's important to make good decisions when you're in that situation. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money, 1-877-913-5357. I do have a line open. Last week, we started talking about brakes, and of course, as it always seems to be, we never get even close to through the material, because we end up kind of talking about other things along with brakes as well. Imagine that happening. Let's talk a little bit about one of the things that you said, and I wanted to have you repeat this, because it reminded me of things that you can do, service type of things you can do to your car, that if you just did them and you did them on time and consistently did them, just like an oil change, that car is going to last for a long time, and it's going to be a good economic investment, because you're not putting major dollars into it for repair work. And I never thought about just simply changing your pads at a certain number of miles does the same thing for you as perhaps an oil change.
Well, yes, that's one way that you can avoid future expenses, but keep in mind, the way they're building cars now, the brake pads will get to a certain point, and then the wear indicator will come into play. And that's what a lot of folks, we talked about this last week, a lot of folks don't know what it sounds like. They don't know what they're hearing. They're hearing it. They just don't know what to do about it, because they don't know what it is. So again, I want to remind everybody that the brake indicator is a device built onto the brake pad that starts to make a certain kind of noise before you actually get down to wearing the complete pad material off the backing plate. And then when you apply the brakes, you go metal to metal against the rotor. That's damaging. That's when things really get radical. You can damage the calipers and the pins and bend things and rotors and pads and just cost yourself a ton of money. So if we remember from last week, the noise is kind of like fingernail scratching on a blackboard. That kind of a scratchy, squealy sound. Now, let me point out so we don't get confused. That is nothing like the squeal brakes make when you come to a stop. Many cars, if you're sitting at a red light and some car pulls up next to you and you hear the brake squeal, that is not the noise we're talking about. This noise, Bob, occurs when you are not applying the brake. You're not applying the brake. You're just driving in a nice, quiet neighborhood at 20 miles an hour, but you hear this noise consistently. Then when you apply the brake, the noise is gone. And that's simply because the padding material absorbs the noise and it goes away to the human ear. The resonant frequency of that brake indicator is absorbed by the padding material, which now you can't hear it when you put the brake on. But if you let off the brake, all of a sudden the noise comes back. So these are two totally different things on opposite ends of the spectrum. Coming up to a light and having your brakes squeak does not necessarily mean your brakes are worn down and need to be replaced. The noise we're trying to convince you of is the one that you hear when you're not applying the brakes. You have to be kind of in a quiet section, and you'll hear this, what do we say? Kind of like fingernails scratching on a blackboard. That is the noise we're looking for.
What about, so when you are heading towards a light, you start to use the brakes, you apply the brakes, and you get that noise, that squealing noise. Mm-hmm. What's that telling you?
Well, there's a number of factors that can cause that. Number one, the usually means the pad itself is vibrating inside of its holding mechanism. We call that a caliper. There's springs, there are backing plate linings, there are a number of noise deadeners that are used on a disc brake like that to quiet that squeal. It can also come from a bad surface on a rotor. But it doesn't necessarily mean your brake material is worn down. It doesn't mean that it's dangerous. Brake squeals can be present with a brake job that's only a week old if things aren't done properly. So brake squeal is not quite as concerning to me as the noise I previously described, because it's an intentional noise that's set up so that the brake indicator will apply noise to the brake rotor and you'll hear it. And now all you need to do is have the information to know what that is and what it's trying to tell you. And what it's trying to tell you is it's an indicator that attaches, that will contact the rotor about 2-30 seconds before the brake pad is completely worn out, which gives you time. It doesn't mean you've got to go in tomorrow, but within a month or so, you probably ought to get that car in there and have those brake pads looked at.
So that squeal does indicate that you're heading towards the point.
That particular noise means, yes, you are getting close to wearing out your brake pads, and it's time to get it in and have them looked at.
Yeah, I guess the point that I was making as far as regular maintenance, not so much you're doing something every 5,000, 10,000 miles, but that you're not ignoring the fact that, hey, I may need to take this car in and get the brakes looked at. Because let's face it, if you could, you're thinking it's human nature, just like with your tires. I've got another good 5-10,000 miles. I don't need to think about it. Surely this noise will go away. Little do you know, things are getting worse as you put that off.
Right, and most people will take their car in under a brake squeal like the one that we're not quite as concerned about. Most people don't want their brakes to squeal, and they think there's something wrong. So, you know, having your brakes checked once in a while is a good idea. I mean, many times today, the thing I like about today's cars, most of them have some kind of custom wheel that you can, it's spoked or finned or many different styles of wheels now, but a lot of them you can look right through the wheel, and if you know what you're looking for, you can look right through the wheel and look at the brake pad thickness. I mean, you got to know what you're doing, you got to look in the right place, but you know, it's pretty easy now to have someone just check your brake pad material, see if they're worn out or whether they've got a lot of material left on them. So it's not quite as bad as it used to be. You used to have to pull the wheels and visually inspect them, which is always a good idea. But it's a little easier now because you can see through them. And if someone teaches you what to look for, you can do it yourself with a flashlight and look right in there. From time to time, you can actually see it for yourself. Or you can have your mechanic check them.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to this special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. If you've got a question you don't want to call in, but you can send it in at the website. www.prudentmoney.com is the site, and just either go to Bob, ask the Ask Bob section, or info@prudentmoney.com. 1-877-913-5357. You know, one of the things I want to talk about on the other side of the break, Tony Joe, is the difference between, where's the fine line between, yes, you just need to get the pads replaced and, or you need to replace parts, and then how far do you go into that process while you're getting the place, different parts replaced?
Very well.
1-877-913-5357. This is Bob Brooks. Stick around. Be right back. Hello, this is Bob Brooks. Proverbs 22:3 and Proverbs 27:12 are the exact same verse word for word. I call them the stewardship verses of risk. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we teach about risk, how to identify it, how to figure it out, and what to do about it. We believe that to be a prudent steward, you have to be a good risk manager. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show on Bible School Radio 91.3. Prudent Money, home of the modern day steward movement.
Dr. Charles Stanley.
One word describes what happened at Calvary. Substitute. God substituted His Son in your place to die at Calvary to pay your sin debt in full. It's all wrapped up in the cross.
The teaching of Dr. Charles Stanley on In Touch, helping you grow in Christ every day.
In Touch, weekdays at 12:30, here on KDKR.
Hi, I'm Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times. We're very excited to be a part of Bible School Radio. I hope you will join me Saturday, 10 a.m., for cutting-edge guests and the latest information to help you discern the truth, even the inconvenient truth. We'll help you understand our times and contend for the faith. That's Understanding the Times, Saturday at 10 a.m., right here on Bible School Radio, or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the special Car Corner edition of Prudent Money. 1-877-913-5357. Tony Joe had a question come in. Thought we'd cover it real quick. Question for Tony Joe. I have a 2014 Honda Pilot with 174,000 miles on it. I do mostly highway driving. About 2 years ago, I had the brakes replaced, pads and rotors, by the shop that I've been using for years. Since then, he's had to replace the rotors 4 times, and now I feel them going out again. My question is there something else other than bad parts or poor workmanship that could be causing this? I feel like my next step is to take it to a Honda dealer. Do you have any recommendations or ideas? I don't always get to listen to the show, so an email response would be great. What do you think about that, Tony Joe? You know, how frustrating is that? You got a mechanic, a guy or girl that you've trusted for a long time, just can't seem to get it fixed.
Did I understand that Michelle or whatever, you told me her name. I think it was Michelle. Did I understand her to say that she's had the rotors replaced four times?
Yes, four times in about 2 years period.
Okay, something's wrong. Now, that's incredible. And she has a mechanic that she goes to, and I'm sure she's looking for reasons, because even to him, that's got to be a little bit extreme. So, four times in 2 years. She's got a 2014 Pilot with 174, and she drives for a living? Is that?
Mostly highway driving, yes.
Okay, see, now there's another thing. Mostly highway driving. Look at this for a minute. When you're on the highway, most of the time you're not even using the brakes, okay? I mean, yeah, you can have congestion up ahead, and you got to slow down. You can have an accident where you're stop-and-go traffic. But most of the time, a highway driver, you get on the highway, and you don't even hit the brakes until you're ready to get off at your exit. So that's unusual to have rotors with that frequent. So I'm going to suggest to this person that the parts that she's using could be poor quality. That is, the rotors should not have to be replaced four times in 2 years, especially if she's a highway driver. So there's a couple of things that I can think of that need to be looked into. Number one, why do the rotors have to be replaced? Well, it's because they're becoming warped. Why do they become warped? Well, because the idea behind brakes is you've got some brake pads rubbing against a circular flat disc rotor, and it causes a great deal of friction. So the idea behind brakes is creating this friction to slow down the vehicle. However, when you create friction, you create heat. Now, brakes are designed to create enough friction to slow the car down and stop it at any point, but also dissipate the heat that can build up and warp the rotors. So what's wrong with her scenario here? She's building up too much heat and the rotors are warping. What could that be caused from? It can be caused from poor quality materials, first of all. It could be caused from a caliper, which would be unlikely. She's saying she's had all the rotors replaced. It would be unlikely that a caliper that's sticking, the piston inside the caliper, is not releasing when it should be, or that the caliper hardware, that is the pins that the caliper mounts on, cannot slide back and forth. They're not being cleaned and greased properly when the brake job is being done, which means she's putting on the brakes one time and they're not really relaxing. They're kind of staying on a little bit. And she may not notice it, but that's why we have issues with brakes wearing out prematurely. So the other thing that I know she doesn't want to hear, because I don't know this person, and I'm going to just give this to the general listening audience just for information, and that is she the kind of person that keeps her foot on the brake pedal when she's driving? Okay?
Yeah, right.
Not saying this is her issue, but if she's driving around with one foot on the brake all the time, that the weight of your foot is resting on that brake pedal, and it's actually keeping the brake pads applied a little bit against the rotor, which builds up way too much heat, way too much friction, and ends up warping the rotors. Now, there's a little tip that I can think of that I've learned the hard way about rotors. That is, if she's buying, or if the company that she's dealing with is buying rotors and having to put rotors on all the time, the best thing to do is find an original Honda Pilot in the lot somewhere, or when one comes in, what you do is you count the fins inside of the rotor. A rotor is made up of two separate disc plates with cooling fins in between. And what you might want to do is find out how many cooling fins are inside the original Honda rotor, which they don't have anymore, and then make sure that your aftermarket rotors that you're buying have equal to or more the same number of fins. Because I've seen that before, where if you got a really cheap Chinese rotor and it has half the number of cooling fins, then you're not going to be able to dissipate the heat as required by the original manufacturer, Honda, and you're going to end up warping rotor after rotor after rotor, even with normal use, because the disc that you're buying, the disc brake rotor, is not built to handle it. So that's a lot of things I can think of right off the top of my head. And
let me ask you this, that this is kind of, well, it pertains to the question, but just out of curiosity, you've done a lot of brake jobs over your life. I mean, you've been a mechanic for 40-something years. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you look great for 35.
I'm only 40 years old. How could I? Okay.
So anyway, is that something that, I mean, was there a particular brake job that came in that you go, you discovered, so that's why that's wearing that rotor out?
Certainly.
And it's just really years of experience.
Well, yes. I mean, it is years of experience.
I mean, it's kind of obvious, but...
Because you have to run into all these different scenarios before learn. You think, wow, I figured that one out.
Do you think you've run...
What about the next one?
Do you think you've run through every scenario, though?
No. No, I have not, and I never will. There's one more thing I can think of, just to put this out there before we move on. You know, the rotor mounts onto a hub, which is part of a wheel bearing assembly. And if, let's say, sometime during her ownership of this vehicle, she hit a curb or something pretty hard with the wheel, pulled up too hard, or maybe an accident, who knows. But if you bent the hub, then you will mount rotor after rotor after rotor onto a bent hub, and then no matter how many rotors you put in, no matter how good they are, if the rotor is not running true because it's mounted up to the hub, which is bent, you're going to have the same problem over and over and over. I just don't know whether she's changing all the rotors or is it just one of them that she's had to change four times. And so I'm trying to compile all the information I can in a short period of time we have. I'm just not that fast of a thinker, you know.
Okay, so we have, So we have about 3 minutes left. I want to talk through this one question, because you always hear these stories of, I know you see these stories, of people go to a brake mechanic, that's all they do, a brake shop.
A brake shop, right.
And so they take their car in, probably just have a simple repair, $99, whatever they're charging for, and it turns into being a $500 or $600 brake job.
Or more.
Mm-hmm. So talk about... the first thing obviously is replacing the pads, but I mean, when does it go into a full blown brake job?
Right.
And are you replacing, I guess, the three main things, the pads, the rotors
and the calipers,
right?
Well, Bob, I will say this. It's kind of an interesting way to look at it, the way I've eventually had to explain the difference. And that is, if you brought your car to me, and I said, Bob, you need pads and rotors, and that will take care of the shimmy and the shaking you get when you apply the brake and the squeal it makes or whatever. And I do the job, and it's perfect. It's fine. And you go, thanks, Tony. That was exactly what I needed. And no more noise, no more shutter, no more. Let's say, on the same token, that you brought your car to me, and I said, Bob, you need pads, you need rotors, you need calipers, you need new brake lines, you need a new master cylinder, you got to flush all the fluid out, and while you're at it, you need to put new emergency brake shoes on there, okay? So now we've gone into the realm of $2,000. When you get it back, because your pads and rotors were on that list, everything's going to seem good, and you're going to say, great job, that took care of it. So how do you know what's too much and what's just enough? And that's what we try to explain on this program. How much is just enough and why? And there's no way we can do it, because I know we're running out of time, but That's something interesting we could talk about sometime.
Yeah, sure.
Is how do you know? Because if they spend $2,000 or you spend $500, you're going to have the same result.
Right, right. This is Bob Brooks. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.